Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday night, so that's Raising Expectations night, and we're glad that you're here, and we think when we're all finished, your expectations will be raised. We will be encouraged, and we'll say it's great to have gathered together with our friendly folks on Raising Expectations and talk to your friends about it, and I hear from you during the week. It's always a blessing. We are people of faith. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe he's the Son of God. He gave his life for us. He's coming again someday for us. So open your Bible, folks. You'll find it's the most relevant book you've ever seen, especially in today's world. So, but we bring great folks in to share their faith, to share their lives, and to kind of encourage you on what's going on in their particular profession or what God's called them to do. So tonight we have another great program in store for you. So just before we get started, to some of you continue to say, who are some of those guys? It's kind of like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You know, who are those guys? And I just dated myself, if you remember that great movie. Looking down from the hill, seeing the torches of the people that make up our team, we're going to start on the West Coast and the great town of Lompoc, California. That is Rocket Town, right, Paul?
Whoa, hey, let me give a quick shout out. Yesterday morning at 7:30, SpaceX launched a rocket, and it was so fun. I knew the rocket was going to take off, and so I went outside and watched it. It was fascinating. But when the first stage separated and came back, and they fire a retro, you know, but it breaks the sonic boom. I wasn't ready for that one. I thought the second coming is here. I was excited, and I hope you all, I was looking for you. It was fun.
That is a fun place. First you shoot balloons with a slingshot, and now your second coming is coming right there. I love it.
Well, we do it all. We do it all. Yeah.
You got it covered in Lompoc, California.
Lompoc, California.
Glad to see you looking. Better. We're glad. We're praying for Kelly,
feeling
too.
Feeling better. Thank you. Guys
feeling better, and we're just going to keep on praying that way. You look great. Good. Christian. You betcha. Amen. Well, you all know that's Dr. Paul Hall, my friend for over 50 years, and Paul is he's a retired pastor. He's a professor. He's a Bible scholar. Most of all, he's a man with a heart for God who loves people, and people love him. I'm one of them, and so is our team right here. So Paul's got us covered there in the West Coast, moving back across the United States, all the way to the south, the east, which is really the southeast, south, which is there in near South Carolina, in Georgia, right there. And we have two of our favorite people in the world, Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. And they're coming to us live and direct, and they are together. Prove it now, Steph. There we go.
Good job.
We got them together. Well, I got you a hug last week. Sorry, Tank. We'll try again next week. See how that works for you. But Stephanie, as you know, is the founder and CEO of Quenching Wells. We really believe she's one of the greatest health experts you're going to find anywhere today. She helps countless hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get their body in shape by what they eat, take care of themselves, and at the same time, connect it to a spirit and a soul that are in shape, because she loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and she proves it and shares it with everybody. She's an outstanding lady, a woman of God, great mother, great leader, and boy, we could just go on, but we think you're the best, Steph. Thanks for being there. And to your left and his right there is Dr. Tank, or Dr. Craig, we call him. Tank is a great Oh, I tell you what, we go on about Tank. This guy right here is a new author. He's got a great book. It's called Saved. And TJ's got it for you to take a peek at right there. The Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life, Finding God in the Ordinary. And boy, finding God in the ordinary, I'm glad, because he had to find God in the super extraordinary too when he was doing surgery. Some of the things he shared with me, it's an incredible story of the life journey, hand in hand with the Lord, walking in the steps that he prepared. So Tank is he's a trauma surgeon also, like we were just saying, but he's also a coach. He's a great dad, and he's a great husband and father and a great brother of ours in Christ. So we love you guys. We're sure glad you're there. That's all the way from the far southeast, as we said, and we're going to get that close one of these days. In fact, we're going to have a flyover and send a balloon if Paul doesn't get it first, and then we'll know where where you're coming from. That's great. Okay. Well, coming back to the left or the west, both have four letters, but Greeley chose go west, so we'll take that. And there in the great state of Texas, the leg upon which the nation rests, in the town of McKinney, we have one of our favorite pastors in the world, Ron Greer. And Ron is with the Man in the Mirror, and he deals with men and what they're facing in life, and helping them to understand who they are, where they are, why they are, and that God has to take them where he can show them. Ron's a great counselor. He's a great man of God. He's a great brother in Christ. He's been through an awful lot of things. But most of all, we're just so thankful that on our program, Raising Expectations, God gave us the grace to take him out of his shell and to get him to be where he's not quite so shy now, right?
Amen.
Oh, yeah,
amen.
Right. Maybe not. Let me think. Love you, Ron. Hey, tell you what a great team. These guys bless. I'm Pastor Joe. You guys know that. I'm Pastor Joe, and they bless my life. I've been in a ministry, oh my goodness, over 50 years, 52 years, something like that. And of all the wonderful people I've had in my life, this group I'm telling you about right here and showing you, they bless my life every week. I just wish I could wake up and have coffee with these guys every day and find out what they're doing. But all across the nation, we touch base, and they just bless my life. So that's the Raising Expectations co-host team that we're blessed to share with you. And tonight we are excited to bring to you someone again by request to have back, Janet Price, coming to us from Southern California. She is the president of the California Federation of Republican Women. That's an elected position, which has a very, very special ministry, what it does, and she could share some of that. But as you read some of our social media this week, she is a lady who loves the Lord. She's highly respected, highly loved. She has a heart, strong faith in Christ. She has been my friend since we were in high school, and we had drama together and a few other classes and things there way back in the day, like at Glendale High School. The Dynamiters, they still rule. So in any event, it goes way back. You remember Linda Johnstone? She was here, and she was quite an art specialist. She and her husband were with us. And so kind of that team. And Janet impacts the lives of Republican people, believers, Christians. I want to have her share just a touch of that with you. So that you get it right from her. And then we're going to kind of talk tonight. Gee, if you were a bear and you came out of hibernation and you looked at what's going on in the nation today, you might go, wait a minute, put me back to sleep. Right, Ron? Wake me up in a few more years. There was a movie out called, I forget the name of it. There were two people. They woke up on a ship going to some colony. And when he woke up, he was the only guy, and he decided, I think I'll go back to sleep. But of course, he couldn't get back in the tube. But that's the way you kind of feel sometimes. But remember this, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and God's never surprised. No panic in heaven, only plans, right? Yeah. He's got a plan on all of this. So we want to welcome with us tonight, Janet Price. Again, she's good to have with us. There's her picture right there. She leads the Federation of Republican Women all over the state. She could share a little bit again. In fact, I just got a note here from a Sacramento group that's going to be starting up with her. So I'm excited about that also. So let's give the round of applause. Janet, welcome to Raising Expectations. Janet, come on in. We're glad that you're here, and welcome to our program tonight.
Thank you for that outstanding ovation.
Yeah, we used to use 20th Century Fox, but people got bored with it. So, we used the round of applause. Yeah.
Well, that's very good. remember the Maytag repairman and how lonely he was? Hating myself. Okay, well, that's kind of like what a Republican is in California. They're the Maytag repair people. But there's lots here to repair. So I actually, with all that's going on in the last few days, it kind of leaves me speechless, but I don't want to be speechless on a podcast. not a good thing. But I'm sure you all are feeling the same way I am. We're grieved for the country, grieved. And I'm thinking that that's going to bring more people to us in California. People are waking up. People are seeing what's happening with divisions in Republican groups and divisions in other groups, but more Republican conservative groups. And even churches are becoming very divided. So it's a time when if you didn't have hope, you could lose it. But we have hope.
Amen.
I was talking to someone the other day and I said, you know, God's not done with us yet. He has plans for marriage. He's rescued us from things before. And she said, yeah, like Vietnam and World War II. And I said, no, I'm going back to Adam and Eve.
All the way.
They had their problems.
Exactly.
And he's kept us going. And it's for a purpose. And I don't believe that any of this is without purpose and is without a divine plan. So that's what keeps me hopeful. And I know it keeps all of you hopeful too. And that's what's in our engine, keeps our tanks full. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there'd be no purpose. But thank God for God. Yeah. Very grateful.
And seems like since we got into the social media days and everything, that it's so much easier to put, as they call it, misinformation out there to, you know, throw potholes in the road to truth where everybody trips or has a blowout or is taken off the highway. But, you know, God flies over it. God's the super drone, as I think. He can look down and see where every one of them are, and he knows what's going on. So it's
I always say when I get in a little bit of a pothole myself, your ways are higher than my ways.
That's right.
Your ways are higher. I cannot begin to understand what he's doing or on the road that he has me on. And it feels like a maze. You know, I don't know whether to turn right, turn left, forward, backward, whatever. I have to hold on to his hand. And every day I just thank him. You got me through another day. Thank you. Thank you for that. But I can't look further than that. I can't even look into the part of the day starting in the morning. So it's kind of good to be a stupid sheep. So good being stupid sheep. Because we have a shepherd. We have a wonderful shepherd. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just have to, I'm so grateful I learned this a while ago. I would hate to be in this culture right now with everything that's going on in this world and be just a beginner, you know, just a newbie, because it's very scary. It would be very scary. It's good that he gives us opportunities to mature.
Exactly. Anybody have a question you'd like to ask Janet? We'll start rolling there. Ron, I'll go ahead. unless our lady does, ladies first. Yeah, but
I was trying to wait ladies first.
I know, I saw it.
So she hesitated.
Yeah.
I will.
Go, Ron.
Oh, good. So now you mentioned the things that are going on now in California. I have to tell you that a lot of us outside of California are always skeptical and afraid about what seeps out and leaks out of California seems to flow other ways. So what exactly are you looking at as being the major issues now that we should be looking at?
Well,
by the way, we have too many hundreds of thousands of Californians that have moved here to Texas.
Oh, I'm sure. I am sure all of you can claim a lot of Californians now. Except Joseph. Anyway.
The missionary is still stuck there. I mean, still staying.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. But I was born here. I think, you know, I would say, I don't exactly know where to go first. Our governor is really a huge contributor to our problems and doesn't know it, has no clue, very unself-reflective. So yeah. It's always somebody else's fault, usually yeah. Republicans. But because of the crazy loss of our freedoms daily, mm-hmm. we're losing freedoms we never even expect to lose. You wake up the next morning and something else is going to be illegal. A gas stove, a regular car, a mm-hmm. light bulb. They're now doing light bulbs that we can't sell and buy. Oh. And so it's just, it's not just creeping Marxism. This is leaps and bounds yeah. of Marxism. It's astounding to me because having been born and raised in the state, it was never like this. And yeah. we had several good Republican governors and good leaderships. And I would know many of our state senators and councilmen who just believed like all of us.
Yeah.
But this is a brand new thing and it's come on so quickly across the nation.
Yeah.
People are saying, what is happening? Because it's so fast. For those of us who've paid attention a little bit longer than just 2 or 4 years, we've seen it coming. Yeah. We've seen it coming. And so this is kind of the snake in the grass that just goes along and then one day comes out and bites you and people are surprised. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be surprised. No. It's been there for a long time. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So there's one other issue recently someone told me about is a new mansion tax. The taxes on mansions being sold. Are you familiar with that one?
Well, I've heard, I have friends who are in real estate. They're taxing anything. That's because we're in a big problem here fiscally, okay. as right. you know.
So that was my next question. What's the whole point and purpose of the taxes and everything that walks?
They're in trouble. The Democrats yeah. are in trouble. Yeah. And they got us into this mess. They don't know how to get us out. So all they say is tax, 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 tax. And that's been the spin on that party for a long time, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just tax the 1%, just the wealthy. Well, who's wealthy anymore? You can't be wealthy living in California.
They keep changing the definition of wealthy.
Every day. Every day it comes down.
Well, I'm reminded of my younger years. And then my days in California, 74, 73, 74, mm-hmm. back doing the, and then of course, just earlier in 69, 68, when you had the whole Black Awareness Movement and the whole Marxist movement, period.
It's
astounding to me that those seeds planted in the 60s and 70s have mm-hmm. somehow flourished. Mm-hmm. It's like they, you go back to what's the old Marxist back in the 1800s? He talked about the long, slow march. So Marx had an idea and finally realized it wasn't going to happen right away. And you have the new groups comes along and says, well, this is a long term, slow march toward.
They're very patient.
Yeah. So I that's one of the things I see in California, not throughout the country. Now, it's that you have some people who've been in place since the 60s and 70s. Who are still is some level active in some ways behind the scenes and some still out in front. And it's like they've accomplished one of the goals. And one of them was back in the 70s, they wanted to take over one of the parties. And that was to figure out which was the weaker party. And that was the Democrat Party, which was also part of the riots and Democrat convention in Chicago back in the 70s as well. But they accomplished their goal. They took over one party and they have slowly kept marching. Now, the thing that gets me in California is how do you go from a Ronald Reagan conservative voting block to an absolute socialist Marxist like Gavin Newsom in this short period of time? Why is the what's happening to the districts that allow them to continue to maintain control?
It's the taking over of the minds. Mm. That is what has happened. And that's a very subtle thing. People don't realize when they're being brainwashed.
Right.
They don't feel anything. They don't feel sick. Everything looks the same. But this is where the Marxists were very, very cunning because they knew. And remember Khrushchev said, I probably said this last time when I was on, that Khrushchev, when he came over, said, we will bury you without firing a shot. Mm-hmm. We will get into your schools and your universities. They've taken over all the think tanks. They've taken over media, and they've taken over, of course, everything that, and they get them when they're young.
Yes.
This is what's abhorrent about what's happening with young kids now.
Yeah.
I can't even speak about how bad this is. Mm. I don't know what the culture will be like 20 years from now when these people grow up after they've been so horribly abused. Mm. But it is the thinking, and as it says in the Bible, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. Mm. And that is what we have to realize, is that our thoughts, we think we aren't really responsible for our thoughts. God hears our thoughts. We have to be aware of our thoughts. And I repent for my thoughts every time. You know, when I look at someone, I go on and on, and I go, wait a minute. That person was made by God. There may be hope there, you know, still. But I have to make sure that my mind is clean, that the words that come out of my mouth edify the Lord, that my heart reflects Christ. Yeah. And if I do that, I'm not going to go too far off course. Mm. And here in California, I have to make sure I stay on course. But it is a very evil thing that has been done. And I don't know if people really realize that Karl Marx was a Satanist.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, yes. A lot of people don't know that. They just think, oh, it's just another political ideology. No.
Yeah.
And again, I may mention that again the last time, that he is buried in the holiest place for Satanists in London.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
Well, did you all see on the news where it was today? It was on the news this morning. Two Los Angeles, I think, were the council persons. Anyway, they made a proposal that any crime that had been committed with a bail of $50,000 or less, even if they've been convicted of the crime, they proposed that those people be turned loose from the prisons, because the prisons in Los Angeles City, are inhumane, et cetera, et cetera. Now, those crimes included having sex with children, spousal abuse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they got such pushback today, you know,
yes,
thank the Lord.
I will tell you how I know that.
they withdrew their recommendation. However, I think there's part of the process is that they come up with the most outlandish, unbelievable things in the world, and they just throw it out there to see if it'll stick on the wall, or, you know, what kind of acceptance. And so consequently, if there's a little bit of acceptance early on, pretty soon it becomes big acceptance. You know, I read a wonderful thing today about Jesus. He didn't eat with sinners to be inclusive or tolerant, et cetera, et cetera. He ate with sinners in order to share the message with them about their need for repentance. And and boy, do we ever need that repentance, you know, especially in California. Oh. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's almost like, and Janet, you alluded to this, it's like you wake up in the morning, you watch the local news, and you go, are you kidding me? I mean, what other stupid thing can you come up with? I don't know what gas costs where y'all are right now, but Santa Maria, 20 miles from us, it's $5.59 a gallon.
$5.59?
$5.59. And they're saying, you know, that OPEC cut back a million barrels a day in production, but our illustrious president said, oh, it's not going to be as bad as you think it is, you know? Yeah. And I'm thinking, no, it's going to be worse, you know? So, I mean, it's just the craziness. And somebody said, as California goes, so goes the nation.
Goes the nation.
And I weep for the nation.
Yes. Don't we feel a sense of responsibility? Yes, yeah, we do. Well, yeah. I'm so glad you brought up that that proposal that happened today, mm-hmm. because one of my really wonderful club presidents from Woodland Hills, mm-hmm. and she wrote me and she said, I know there's a lot of bad news, Janet, but I want to tell you what happened. I found out about that proposal. And she said just exactly what you said, that they're mm-hmm. the bail, you know, they'll get out, and these are horrible, horrible criminals. And she said, the council person who presented it, I happened to get wind of it. I started an activist phone calls. Mm-hmm. And he said, I got so many people to flood her office. Mm-hmm. Because of that, they have taken it down. They stopped. Yeah, just because of that. And that's how our groups can be activist. Now, before, in the 60s, the word activist to me was a dirty word. Yeah, and right. It's been hard to get it out of my mouth the last few years, but now I'm proud of it because we can affect change. Mm. We just have to stop accepting things like this as normal. There is nothing normal that's going on. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's evil. Mm-hmm. It's satanic. It's mm-hmm. Marxists. Everything that is against America. And they've taught kids to hate America. This was again in the mind. This is how they got in the kids' minds.
There's a biblical principle, and the principle is if you put it in the ground and you water it, it's going to grow. But what you plant is going to come up. And that's why it's so imperative for us as followers of Christ, you know, to keep casting our seeds, you know, I mean, plant them and water them. But it's a frightening, prospect, you know, to think that, you know, it's like if you leave California, you go to another state. By the way, I invited Gavin Newsom to be strapped to one of SpaceX missiles, but he turned it down.
That was nice. Yes. I'm going to see him fall to Earth.
They need your leadership there, Gavin. Go
on. That I want to see.
You know, I was in in Madison, Wisconsin, probably about 1985, 86, somewhere in there. This young activist comes to Madison to have one of the second of his big training conferences, and a couple of us snuck in. Well, I'd had to sneak. They thought that I was black, so they assume I agree with them. So nobody questioned me being there. the other racism, but I won't go there right now. But but his name was Kevin Jennings, and one of the number of absolute explosive statements he made. There, it was a training for teachers and educators and administrators. It was later called the Gay Lesbian Straight Teachers Network, an organization they formed, still around today, GLSEN. But one of the things that Kevin Jennings said there was out of the book by a strategist, one he's a disciple of, got the name of Marshall Kirk. And there was a discussion about whether or not we could get people to accept the gay rights whole agenda and accept them. He said, listen, somewhere around about 10% of the population have already accepted of us and our agenda. He said, there's another somewhere about 15% that isn't, but that we can sway them. He said, but there's another 50 or 60%. You will never, ever sway them. They're never gonna agree with us. He said, but we're here with teachers, so we can start with students, with kids. And if we teach the children, he said, 10 years from now, that 60% would be irrelevant. It won't matter. Now, Kevin Jennings, that was in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Barack Obama appointed Kevin Jennings in his administration as an undersecretary for the Department of Education over safe schools. Safe schools are. Kevin Jennings was responsible for making sure that crazy agenda was now nationwide, where they cut your federal funding off. And people wonder why we had this explosion in homosexuality and transgenderism and all this stuff in the schools and in libraries. Well, you can thank GLSEN and those guys, Kevin Jennings, those guys for that.
Did you see the Country Music Awards last night?
Yeah,
exactly. Country Music Awards, Bud Light, the Ultra Makeup Company, every single major company around are now promoting the same thing. And one reason for that is I go back to my experience with the homosexual movement in the 1990s. There is a whole organization whose job and purpose it was is to find people and plant them in corporate boardrooms so that they could start influencing corporations around the country. So the strategy was to start with entertainment, then the news media, and then with corporations, and also with the court system. And eventually, once they everybody was surrounded, then they would go into the legislative arm and get their agenda passed through. And now, in the meantime, NAMBLA and a bunch of other pedophile organizations were always kept in the dark and kept in behind and kept quiet until we get to the point where we can have full acceptance. Now, that organization has continued. They started with AT&T. AT&T was one of the big promoters of
other companies. I didn't know that.
Yes. So they've accomplished almost every single thing they proposed back in the 1980s and early 90s.
That's strategizing.
So now they're ingrained in a Democratic Party. They're now ingrained in the Republican Party. Law cabin Republicans. That was another coup that they orchestrated. And people are still sleeping and still don't realize it. But the target is actually to always focus on children so they don't have to worry about the rest of us down the line. Now, I say all that to say, Satan always duplicates a false sort of copy of what God does.
That's right.
So you go back to almost every traditional Jew quotes the Shema every day, right? When they ask Christ, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? Well, if you look at that passage in Deuteronomy 6, the very next thing he says after that command is now to teach your children. And when you get up in the morning, when you go about their way, when you sit down, that's a responsibility on us to disciple, train our children. Because if you train the children, then the legacy of these godly people will carry on. Satan took the whole thing and did this with it.
My own personal opinion, going back to the 60s, and I was a 60s kid growing up. I was not a 60s kid. What I'm saying is, I'm not of them. Right. I was in that culture, but not of them.
Okay.
And they scared me back then, and they were my age.
Yes.
And there was one time when I was debating with somebody or mad at somebody. I probably did not know how to really hold up my end of the bargain. I've learned a lot now about debating. I really was bad then. But I said, you guys are scaring me. You are scaring me. That's when the drug culture was coming in and the permissiveness and the anti-police was happening back then. Same thing, the defund. They didn't say defund, but it was anti-police, the pigs and all that. And I thought, you're scaring me because you're going to grow up. You're going to be the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians. But you know what I think just happened? I think you hit it on the head. They became the parents of the generation that we are seeing now that is so messed up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The families have been splintered. And so this whole thing was deceive, come in with a lie, divide as it will. Lies always divide, and then destroy.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're on the third D, I think, right now.
I would agree wholeheartedly. So he does not change his tactics or his purpose.
Oh, and he never will because it's worked.
Yes, absolutely.
It's worked.
Absolutely.
Stephanie, you have a thought?
Well, so, okay, I'm a California baby, born and raised, whole life until 2 years ago.
Yeah. You've been redeemed, though, so good.
Jenna, I was born in Santa Monica, actually.
Talk about that. Yes.
And I loved growing up in California. It was so awesome. Like, as soon as I had my driver's license, day I turned 16, of course, I was listening to talk radio. Like, I don't know. I just came out very conservative. Part of my family was just open and would always talk about those things. And so it was just a part of growing up. And one of my observations is, you know, I have three bonus children, and our oldest son is 24. And he was the last class in California not to have Common Core. So he also didn't take his exams with Common Core, anything. He had a great public school education.
Fabulous.
Our next one is 8 years younger than him. And so we saw very quickly, and we pulled both of the youngers out and started homeschooling them because we could see what was happening. And we had them at a private school, by the way, a very well-respected private school. And it was already happening there. And so the stark difference between our own kiddos and what they would get in the same exact community we were raising in, by the way, it was drastic. And so, yes, it's troublesome. I almost was going to say, I don't even know how to say California lost its mind, because I look at the news, I get distraught. But I can also tell you, from being in homeschooling now for 8 years and these kids that we've met all over the nation, part of this generation is really rising up. There is a strong, faith-based, confident, steadfast group of young people. How many of them, how vocal they will be, I do not know, but they do exist. I agree that it's very hard when we start with these kids at such a young age and they're told these things over and over, and then you come home and the parents only have a couple hours with you. Obviously, you're getting more in the school system than your own family's beliefs. And that's extremely dangerous, right?
It is. Parents have to debrief, though, when they get home from a school. And my kids went to Christian schools, too, but it got infected in there. And then they went to a Catholic high school. It really got infected in there. So we're fighting a lot. But, you know, I do have hope from the Asbury. Is it Asbury, Kansas?
Yeah.
Kentucky.
I got the K.
Yes.
Yes. And things like that give me hope. I am told that that is spreading to other campuses, that there are young people. What's the age group, would you say, Stephanie, that you're talking about that is rising up? That is
the teens into early 20s, but, for sure. They're on fire.
Good. Yeah. Because I've heard of that. And then, of course, y'all seen the Jesus Revolution movie. Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. And that started in Orange County in Southern California.
Yeah. I had no idea that was Greg Mulvey until I was watching. I went, wait, I've been to his church. I have another story I wanted to share. So one of my very good friends has a daughter in junior high and in elementary. And, you know, they're having issues with the bathrooms, and kids identifying as however they want can go in whatever bathroom. And one of the girls, she's a seventh or eighth grade. She came home and she said to her mom, I'm really uncomfortable. This happened. This boy is in our bathroom and blah, blah, blah. So my friend went down there and said, this is completely unacceptable. And they said, well, we don't have a choice. And she said, the law states you have to have single use lockable bathrooms available to every child. Do you have those? Oh yeah, but they're locked because we can't monitor them. Absolutely not. You are opening them. And so she just started telling all the moms, well, guess what? Now the school did what they were supposed to do. So part of this too is that parents have to be aware and know even what the laws are and what's going on. And there are so many things that are constantly changing. That school had not been doing that law for a year. So all these girls were really uncomfortable, where actually the law is that people can have their own individual bathroom. They didn't want to be having staff to monitor it. And so that's why they were locked during the school day.
That's why I love the rising up of the parents.
Yes.
Amen. That probably started in where, Virginia?
No, this is in Northern California.
Yes, but I mean, no, I'm sorry, where the whole movement started.
Virginia.
Yes, that's what I thought. It was there. And that's when they started, this group in the White House started calling the parents terrorists, domestic terrorists, mm-hmm. because they want to get involved with their kids' education. They want to protect their kids.
Yeah.
And that is supposed to be a terrorist act. Oh, you know, this, we've really got to rise up, folks. More.
You know, it kind of reminds me. I don't know, guys, maybe you could think with back on this also. It's been said, and I don't remember who said it exactly, but for many, many years, like Ron was stating, all the way back in time there, Ron, you know, they come and attack conservative Christians, and they know what they're doing, because if they are conservative and they're Christians, then they need to respond in love. And they need to reach out as Jesus. Of course, today they totally distort scripture against Christians. And I've seen arguments, them trying to say these sexual situations, which are not scriptural, but they try to turn it all around. But Christians were conservative and loving the way we are supposed to be scripture. So they attack and attack and attack. I think we need to be the church and everybody, because as Ron says all the time, he's there helping guys. The church needs to get to the plate, take the bat, pull the hat down, put the glasses on, step up to the plate. And yes. I'm always reminded of Nehemiah. Now, how did Nehemiah have to do it? He had to go all by himself. It was really a struggle. They were shooting at him from behind rocks. Who are these guys? Then when he finally got there to Nehemiah, how did they build the walls and restore that all? A sword in one hand and a trowel in the other.
Yes.
And I think it's time for Christians to say, yeah, we've got the trowel here to rebuild and to make sure we're saying the truth in the church. So we've got a sword here also, because the sword of the Lord is two-sided. And if you're going to attack my children, my home, my church, my family, and my nation, you're going to find that two hands are going to take hold of this. And of course, they'll be wrong because they'll attack everything we ever do. But you know what? God's in control.
He is. And I do believe, though, Joe, when you mentioned the word love, mm-hmm. I think that has been co-opted too. They're expecting us to be squishy people who just, you know, turn the other cheek and then turn the other cheek and then turn the, and they don't ever stand up for right. That wasn't what Jesus did.
Right.
He was a strong man.
You can ask Dr. Hall about that. When we were back in school a long time ago, we had one professor that said, you remember what Jesus said? And one guy said something, remember, Paul? And then he said, no. Jesus said you spot them two cheeks and then you beat the crumb out of them.
Yeah, that's why Martin Simmons is a member.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I found this good quote today. It says, first we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, and then we persecute those who still call it evil.
Right.
You know? Perfect.
And a long time ago,
I got on a t-shirt.
Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Yes.
You know? And you know, I hear talking about the church too. You know how easy it is for the pulpit to cool because we buy the lie that you can't say this and you can't say that. But there was a time when the pulpits thundered with the truth of God, you know, unapologetically, and it made a difference. You know, it made a difference.
People are wanting it, don't you think? People are trying for that kind of strength.
Yeah. I think a lot of young people today, I could be wrong on this, they're not interested in Christianity because it's too hard. They reject it because it's too soft.
Absolutely.
It's not requiring anything. You know, you can just be whatever you want. Come on in. We love you, Jesus. You know, we'll have a potluck and feel good and go home. But boy, you start making, and Ron, you can speak to that, you know, much better than I, you know, in terms of, you know, what does the Lord require of thee but to love justice, to do good, you know. And so, boy, we got to turn our hearts to that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the new arm of our ministry called Mirror Labs. It's a research and development part of our ministry. But one of the main focus right now is on the young, that 20 to 40 year olds that are basically have left the church. They've left in droves. And most large churches are very much aware of it. And you can have some that I can name even in my area. They form committees to study why they're losing those 20, 30, and 40-somethings.
So more Barna reports?
Beg pardon?
More Barna reports?
Barna reveals some very scary and very tragic results. Mm-hmm. And they're leaving. Part of that leaving is, as you alluded to, Paul, they find no meaning in church. There's no purpose. There's no fight, no goal. And to them, it's not that they reject the church. They just don't have any use for it because it doesn't give them anything. It doesn't call them to commit to anything.
It isn't a contrast to the world. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So so that's actually become our focus, is recruiting older Christian men or mature Christians to actually intentionally become spiritual fathers to young men. Because that's our key at this point for the church. But the other thing encouraging thing is, you look at organizations like Turning Point USA. They're now they've gone from having one or two conferences in a couple of places to now there are constant conferences all around the country.
It's going after them.
With Latinos and college kids. And they had one here in Dallas for high school students. There were 6,000 conservative high school students at a 2.5-day conference.
What organization is this, Ron?
It's called TPUSA, Turning Point USA. Candace Owens was a part of that. Still one of the speakers. Charlie Kirk is kind of started and ahead of it still, but they've expanded like crazy. But that's one of those very encouraging things, because there's this undergirth growing population of young people, and the other part about those young people, a lot of them I meet, they have no connection with the mainline party headquarters or activities, none.
But until we give them something they want, something they're hungry for, we deserve to be ignored.
Exactly. And you can't get, and that's one of the things when I left the party, one of my struggles with them, that you have to reach them where they are. And they were the same thing with me campaigning among Black folks in urban areas. You know, every strategist, the vote to dollar outcome there is really not worth the time. But if you don't plant, till the soil, you'll never have a result of it. You never have growth out of it. Why not go? Why not reach out? Why not try?
I think something that's intimidated Christian conservatives. We feel like we have to stay in a corner and be quiet and just do like we're talking. That's the antithesis of it. I'm sorry. Somebody else was going to talk there and I talked right over.
That was perfect. Isn't there a scripture that says, put on the shyness of God? No. Put on the mask. No. Put on the quiet. No. Put on the armor, isn't it, Ron? You put on the armor. You can smile. The
mask?
You can smile. Yeah, we can smile from inside the armor, but put on the armor and know what you believe and stand on it.
Oh, my God. And the battle is mine. The conference is mine. The discussion is mine. He said the battle. And you're right, Joe, about the double-edged sword.
Yeah. You know,
the rhema and the logos. And we are ready for battle.
That's right.
I've been ready for a long time. I just need it to come to me.
There we go. Well, we're just proving we're seniors, dynamic seniors, cis seniors. You know, they come on. Hey, Janet, you may have another thought you wanted to share there, but I wanted to let them know about Jean's book, which I thought was great.
Oh, that's very
good. Her husband, Gene, put a great book. Stephanie, you'd like this too for younger mothers that you know. It's Gene's book is called Luca's Maiden Voyage. It's really fantastic. Can you share just a word about this and how people can get a copy of that?
Well, I think it is on Amazon, as it was, but I'm taking it a step further, and maybe next time I talk to you guys, there'll be some new movement on it. But it was something that was the day I met him in the 60s. He was unemployed. Okay. You realize if you meet a guy who's got a tan, he's unemployed. So I said, well, what do you really want to do in life? And he said, I want to be a writer. 52 years later, I'm going, where did that go? He had been writing that since he was in his 70s, and I didn't know it. So the nice thing, Joe, about you inviting me on this week, this is Holy Week, and all this is about the Passover celebration and the little donkey who carries Christ into the Passover celebration. It's full of twists and turns. It's very delightful. And I'm not being biased. I cry when I read it.
Yes. It reminds me, like he said at the end, Janet, he said, if you like The Lion King, if they make a cartoon movie of this, if they like The Lion King, or there's one other I was trying to remember, because I always thought The Lion King, this is a story that leads people to Christ in that fashion. I think Kurt Cameron needs to get a hold of this. He's going around reading. He would love it.
That's very interesting, because I know Rob McCoy, who is his best friend, who is from Calvary Christian in Agoura, and they speak together.
Well, I just got a text, Janet. Dr. Marianne Cintron, one of our special people, she just texted, they have this book too, and they love it. I told them about it when I got this a couple weeks, 3 weeks, and they've got it. She's going to be putting it out on her website also, which covers thousands of people on dyslexic children. If I can say that, dyslexic children. So this is fantastic. It's really good.
I love the way that I can't even really say all the twists and turns. Yeah, there's a picture of us.
Yeah, there they are. That's a good picture there.
That was our 40th anniversary.
Isn't that great? Golly, that's a good question.
Warms my heart that this is the way to teach children about the Bible, because there are many stories in there. And they're, all of them are biblical names, you know, Caleb and Gideon, and then he's got Barnabas. Well, just so many are little biblical characters and biblical names. But at the end, he said, oh, can I just read the last scripture to you? Because I happen to find it on a pen that I got from President Reagan. And I thought,
oh, there you go.
Goodness. And we had been at President Reagan's church. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But he put on it, ellipses, to be continued. I know he wants this kind of thing of stories, fanciful stories, around Bible verses to be able to introduce children to the Bible in a way that they can understand, they will enjoy.
Yeah, well, thank you. I thought it was great. Maybe that includes grandpas too. I thought it was really good, you know. And and there's the text just came through again on my screen, Janet. They love the book. So text coming in, watching you tonight on this. So that's excellent.
Jean would be very pleased. Is very pleased, and just blessings to everybody, because it's a blessing he left me. He left as a gift to me. I mean,
That's a special guest. Well, we have 2 minutes, and I just got the note. Where did our time go? We're having such fun.
Hi.
You got a 60-second one there. I had one I was going to do, too, but you go ahead. If you want to, Steph, give us a...
That's true.
We sure could use the help tonight, yeah.
We love hanging out with you guys. It goes way too fast.
It did go fast. I can't believe it.
Right? You can follow all the things that we do, past shows, who we are, how to connect, how to find the books, all the different things we're talking about at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And we love your donations. We gladly accept them so that we can keep talking and sharing and getting the good news out, because it all does really come back to the good, good Father. And Janet, I have to tell you, that verse that you just read in the back of your husband's book was spoken over me earlier today. And so I started to giggle, because that's what I'm going to be digging into as soon as we finish.
Amen. Well, if anybody were to ask too, if you have Venmo or Zelle, you could, if the Lord lays on your heart, no amount's too small. Don't worry, folks. We could use it as we try to keep everything rolling. It does cost. So we just are so excited to have you with us tonight, Janet. And
thank you. And I want to read your book too. Yeah, I've loved your book.
Oh, good.
I mean, it was really tough weeks.
Oh, good. Oh, amen. It's all about faith. And sometimes I go back and look at it too every now and then. And of course, you do know that Saved is there. Also on the website, we have both those books listed. And I think we'll go ahead and put this on there. As soon as you give me some insight on how to do that, we'll put that in our Raising Expectations library and put it on our site so people can see your book there.
Thank you very, very much. We all want to just spread the word. And this is a wonderful ministry you all have here. Wonderful. Ask your God's blessing on this, because I know it's changing lives and reaching people.
Amen. Amen.
I have a quick question for Ron. Ron, are you unemployed because you have a wonderful tan?
I'm retired. Yes, I'm retired.
Okay, that's a good closure, brother.
You say retired.
Ladies and gentlemen,
sorry.
That's perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight. Thank getting the red light all the way from Houston, Texas, with we've got the greatest engineer, TJ, and they're getting the light. They've got to let us know. So, Janet, God bless you. We'll talk
Thank
to you later.
Bless all of you.
Amen. Amen. God is good. It's a great week. Don't forget, he paid the price at Easter and he rose again. He's coming again, and we can have a sword and a trowel because he lives within. God bless you. Have a great week.
God bless all of you. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.